Newcastle County Council Executive Committee meeting Tuesday, April 28, 2014, 4:00. Council Workshop Room, 8th floor. Present tables, council members, Wyndham, Kilpatrick, Sheldon, Tackett, Powers, Pro Tem Hollins, Cordier, Diller, Smiley, Retta, and Legislative Aide Anthony DeFury. Approval of minutes.
Motion approved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Ayes have it. We'll move right along with the agenda. Agenda item number 3, R15-088, consenting to the appointment of Kia Booker to the Newcastle County Diversity Commission, introduced by Councilman Tackett. Mr. Tackett.
Absolutely. Well, we have Ms. Booker here. We could ask her to come to the table and entertain some questions. Maybe she could give us a little synopsis on herself. Opening it up, I shared with Ms. Booker. She actually, we hosted a community meeting down in the area, and she actually came to the meeting extremely well prepared, engaged me at the meeting and presented me with her resume. She had already done her research, knew what she wanted, and she approached me with the ideal. I shared with her that I was actually taken back a little bit because, you know, in my 11 years, I've predominantly had to approach residents of our district and say, hey, would you be interested in this? And she's actually the first one that actually went out, did her research, sought out this position, and came to me. And early on, when I had went to the administration to talk to them about my offering Ms. Booker as a consideration for this position, they weren't positive they had a position. So they had said, well, maybe would she be interested in this? And I had went back to Ms. Booker and said, well, we're not sure if we have an opening yet or not, but would you be interested in this? And she wasn't. She knew what she wanted. She knew where her passion was, and she knew where her dedication was, and she knew where she wanted to apply, you know, herself to, and this was it. So I continued to work with County Executive Gordon, and the vacancy came open. She came in. She did the interviews, and ideally, we're here today.
Welcome, Ms. Booker. We have your resume. Would you like to make a brief opening statement, please?
Thank you. Hello, my name is Kia Booker, and I'm very happy to be considered for this appointment. My passion and my background is urban economic development, both educationally and professionally, and I just look forward to using those skills and talents on the Diversity Commission to ensure that minorities and women have access, fair access to county contracts, and also ensuring that human resources policies are fair as well.
Thank you. Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, thank you very much for volunteering, first of all. But I'm curious, where did you find out? Where did you do your research? How did this?
I reviewed the Newcastle County website, all of the various boards and commissions. I also read the minutes inside of all of the boards and commissions to see exactly what each commission was doing, and felt as if this was the perfect fit.
Thank you, because it actually has not been that many years since this council spearheaded getting that information online, putting them out there, and trying to, I know it's difficult sometimes, keep up with the listing of the vacancies and the descriptions. So I'm glad to hear, if it's only one person a year that accesses that and follows through, then it's one more than we would have had previously. So thank you very much.
Any other comments or questions from council members? Councilmember Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Yes, sir.
I just want to congratulate you for reaching out and making up your mind this is where you want it to be. Because this is hard work. This is not one of those commissions where we get a lot of people pulling out themselves wanting to serve on it. Usually that's the planning board, maybe the board of adjustment, but when it comes down to diversity, we just have to go out and draft people to serve on it. But it's very hard work, it's ongoing work. And I was pleased to hear you say, mention policy, because a lot of what drives diversity and inclusion for this government, like others, is policy. And I always say to folks who are serving on the Diversity Commission to comment on county policy, comment on legislation that we're adopting that's going to draft policy, just to give a comment. We have other boards and commissions that make comments from time to time on policy. So I think it's critical that the Diversity Commission begin to, I say it all the time, but it hasn't happened yet, we don't get comment on policy from the Diversity Commission. So welcome aboard. And
thank you.
You very well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Tackett.
I just will add, as we wrap it up, we look forward to bringing this forward for a vote. And I know, you know, I'm certain that now with Ms. Booker, you know, with talking with her, reviewing the resume, and then talking to Mr. Guy with the interviews and all, that women and minorities will have a very loud voice in the future on the commission if this moves forward positively tonight, as it appears it will.
Anything else from council? Anything else from Ms. Booker? Outstanding candidate, we wish you well.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you from experience.
Thank you.
Ordinance 15-015 to amend the rates of pay for unclassified employees of the county council. Veto override. Mr. Smiley.
As per title.
Comments or questions from council? Public comments. Seeing none, we shall move on. Agenda item number 5, discussion of the access and distribution of county auditors' emails by the Office of Law, including possible executive session as a result of potential litigation. Mr. Weiner.
Thank you, Mr. President. I intend to make a motion, which I'll distribute now to the members of council, and then I'll read it into the record.
So be it, Mr. Weiner.
Thank you.
Mr. Street has joined us.
Mr. President, may I
proceed? Mr. Weiner, you have the floor.
Thank you. Mr. President, members of council, I'd like to make the following motion presented to this Newcastle County Council Executive Committee on April 27, 2015. Newcastle County resident Andrea Daly filed a request for public records pursuant to Delaware Freedom of Information Act 21 Delaware C, Chapter 100, aka FOIA request, directed to the Department of Newcastle County Council on March 17, 2015. The request specifically requests, quote, all emails between County Auditor Bob Wasserbach and Rhett Ruggiero from 2005 to present, end of quote, hereinafter referred to as, quote, the Wasserbach emails, end of quote. The Department of Newcastle County Council, parentheses, for the purpose of this motion, quote, the department, end of quote, is defined as consisting of Newcastle County Council Clerk of Council and the Newcastle County Council to Council, end parenthesis, not produce the requested records, stating that the request is inappropriate. Thereafter, quote, the Wasserbach emails, end of quote, were electronically transmitted to all County Council members and the Clerk of Council by the Newcastle County Office of Law on April 17, 2015. Thereafter, Council to County Council opined in a memo to all council members dated April 20th, 2015, that, quote, ultimately is up to Newcastle County Council itself to determine a path forward, end of quote. Council to Council further stated that Newcastle County Council, quote, remains the citizenry check and balance on excessive concentration of authority, end of quote. In the matter of the outstanding FOIA request filed on March 17, 2015, and all similar matters, Newcastle County Council seeks to act in accordance with all applicable federal, state, and county laws. It is the legal duty of, quote, the department, end quote, to reply in a timely manner to all FOIA requests directed to the legislative branch of Newcastle County government. Accordingly, Newcastle County Council hereby supports a motion to retain outside legal counsel to review all relevant legal documents, including but not limited to, quote, the Wasserbach emails furnished by the Newcastle County Law Department to the members of council. The legal review shall in part advise Newcastle County Council if the Department of Newcastle County properly responded to the FOIA request in denying the request for the documents, semicolon, how the department should have replied, comma, if a denial was inappropriate, semicolon, and, comma, at this juncture, how should the Department of Newcastle County Council now proceed in this and other similar matters? Newcastle County Council shall seek a legal opinion from a regional law school with expertise on all relevant areas of applicable law and ethical precepts. The Office of County Council President is hereby authorized and directed by County Council to contact a regional law school to obtain this opinion. Newcastle County Council authorizes the sum of $20,000 for this research and legal opinion. Respectfully submitted. Mr. President, I bring this motion in order to facilitate discussion, and I welcome a discussion and certainly will address any questions.
So be it. Mr. Smiley.
Yeah.
Does it have to be seconded?
Pardon?
If it's a motion, does it have to be seconded?
Yes.
Yes, it has to be seconded. Is there a second?
I second.
Been properly moved and second. All in favor?
Aye.
On the question.
Is there a question on the discussion?
Question on the motion.
On the motion, rather.
Okay. My personal opinion, number one, I did not read the email. I, you know, after a couple of years or whatever of hearing how we should have our own system, I found it to be a slap in my face that I get someone else's personal emails, which tells me, I'm sure, that probably everybody's here are being read. That being said, I'm not going to support this motion. I think the council is in error if we do such a thing, because, and I don't care who it is, council attorney has opined that it was inappropriate and a violation of the law to access the personal emails. For council to now expend funds to hire someone to ask them to review those documents, then in our attorney's opinion, were illegally accessed, I just think is wrong. That's my opinion. On the same note, I'm going to go the same place on this as I go for myself. If those that opened these emails and looked at them believe there's something illegal that took place, they have a moral obligation to turn it all over to the Attorney General's office. If our FOIA, if we violated the FOIA policy, Ms. Daly, whoever, they have an avenue to have that determined also by the idiot. But in short, as to Mr. Wasserbach, myself, whatever, if you've got it, to put it bluntly, don't talk it, walk it across the plaza. I don't think it's for this council to do. That's my personal opinion, and I will endeavor to remain silent.
Mr. Redder.
Thank you. I might be wrong, I don't know, but you do have in here a law school, and I believe we voted to have a lawyer to handle this. So how does that affect now? Is it the lawyer or the law school?
Mr. Wayne.
Thank you. Councilman Redda, I'm sorry, that was a very good question. The motion that we previously addressed was providing extra legal assistance on a contract basis to our council to council due to an excess of work due to FOIA requests. This is completely separate from that. This is this body, County Council, seeking an outside third party from a law school with expertise in ethics and government law to advise us as a separate body as to how we should proceed and whether or not our office has been functioning properly, legally, and ethically.
I don't disagree with that, but I do disagree with hiring, going after a law school when we already hired somebody to do the same job. So this, to me, it sounds like double duty.
Really. With all due respect, this is not the same job. Mm-hmm. This is a separate request by this body because we have been asked, or we face certain legal questions, which it's unclear to us as to how we should proceed. And rather than relying either on the law department or our council to council, we're seeking a third independent body from an impeccable ethical opinion rather than a law firm which may have ties to the administration or to this body to go to a reputable law school for an independent opinion.
Councilmember Diller and Councilmember Cartier and Tackett in that order, please.
I have to be honest, I don't think there's anything unclear about what happened. Mr. Wasserbach's personal emails were illegally obtained. I will not vote for this. I think this is outrageous, and what is the point of having two branches of government if we don't act like the legislative body?
thank you for raising that very important question. And of course, the separate question of whether or not the executive branch should have looked at our emails is a question which we can seek the advice of a law school, but there's another number of areas that aren't necessarily answered, and that is the fact that emails have been delivered to us. If there is a FOIA which is successful, whether it be the News Journal or Andy Daly, and those emails then become part of the public purview, this body will be asked, did we act responsibly with information which may have indicated infractions, violations, ethical questions? Has our counsel to counsel acted properly? Has our county clerk, council clerk, acted properly? We don't know the answers to these questions, but I can assure you that if we seek outside legal counsel from a professor of ethics and government law, we won't be seen as doing nothing and rather sitting on information which we should have acted upon in retrospect. We will have been proactive in seeking the guidance that we need. Right now, there is an outstanding FOIA request, and some of us may have looked at the email, some of us not. That's not the issue. It's the fact that they've been delivered to us. And I believe that to protect this body, its integrity, and also its to be above reproach, we should seek separate legal counsel.
Councilmember Cartier.
The emails in question, known as the Wasserbeck emails, which were delivered to us by the executive branch on the date mentioned, are these emails on the county email system? Mm-hmm. Or are they private emails on a separate email system?
Mr. Weiner.
Councilman Cartier, these are emails on the county system.
Mr. Tackett. Okay. Before Mr. Tackett opines.
Ed Danberg, new counsel to counsel. As I understand it, the Daly request has already been responded to. We've already denied the FOIA request. Person Carol Dolan. The basis for that denial was simply that there was not a public purpose, a public business cited in the request. And there wasn't. It's very clear. This is a search for emails between Mr. Wasserbeck and Mr. Ruggiero that have they have absolutely no bearing on public business of any kind. That was the basis for the rejection. There is a process that that needs to be followed here. Daly wants to take it to the Attorney General's office. The Attorney General's office will opine on whether or not the emails are public or not, and we'll have to abide by that. But there's no adding another opinion from the law school. I don't care if it's an opinion from the Supreme Court. It's not going to matter when we get in front of the AG's office. They're going to have their opinion that it was whether or not we're right or wrong on this, and that's where this belongs. It's a very clear. To put it mildly, this is a fishing expedition that could be applicable to any one of your emails. To your email to your sister, to your mother, whatever, and claim that there's a public purpose in going after those emails by FOIA. And that just isn't the case. Until they state what the public business is that they want information on, there is no duty for counsel to respond any further to that FOIA request. there was nothing to act on. There was a remedy available, which is right across the courtyard. Anybody disagrees?
Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Danberg, Mr. Weiner, Mr. Tackett, and Mr. Street.
Right. Mr. Danberg, thank you for expressing your legal opinion. And certainly, I understand, as I stated in this motion, that the law department has stated its reasons why the FOIA was not responded to. Attorneys can disagree. Certainly, that's why we have different lawyers. The law department and you disagree on this. I've read these emails. Carol Doolin stated that she did not read these emails. I am of the opinion that there could arguably be ethical, professional, and criminal violations of the law in that email. I want to protect this body from the action. I have to answer the response. I didn't want to bring this up.
But I think it's inappropriate when you're passing judgment and putting it out.
I'm not passing judgment.
You can't unring the bell.
Mr. Weiner,
yes, you just did.
Mr. Weiner, thank you.
Please stay within the scope of...
Yes, and I really preferred not to go with this answer. But there are three points that the council attorney has made ipso facto as if they're correct. And in the ultimate end, we as a body will be judged on what we do because we have been presented with emails, which some of you may have read, some of you have not. As an officer of the court, I have one obligation which is beyond yours. As an officer of the court, when I see violations of the law, I'm duty bound. But more important to this body, I look at each and every one of us and say, we need to protect the respect and integrity that we have acted correctly in this instance. And it's been stated by the attorney that is covering for Carol Doolin that she opined that we didn't have to look at the emails, and that's fine, but on the other hand, we did have the choice to look at the emails. Also said that the attorney has no choice but to reject looking at them. I'm thinking that ultimately, this matter can go before Superior Court because not only has Ms. Daly FOIA'd them, but the News Journal has as well. And the News Journal has never lost a FOIA request. And I believe that these emails will eventually fall into public purview, and the public will want to know that the information that we have in our possession, whether we acted or not in good faith. And also, there could be
if
other.
We're talking about personnel. Do we need to be in executive session?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I have another non-personnel issue, which is brought up by this council, by this council attorney.
Before we consider going to executive session, I have a couple more.
Yes.
Council people who've asked to speak.
If I may.
But if they're talking about personnel, then.
Are you talking about personnel?
No, I'm not. I'm going to be talking about procedure.
Procedure.
The fact that there are many law firms in town. They may have relationships with this body or know people here or with the administration. Therefore, by suggesting in this motion that we get a legal opinion from a regional law school with expertise in all relevant areas of applicable law and ethical precepts, we take it out of the purview of where some of us might be concerned as to what law firm is hired. And the last point I want to make in connection with this is that we have a FOIA request. We have not responded to it. The explanation may or may not be legal or sufficient, but certainly the Attorney General's office is never going to look at whether or not the response from our counsel to counsel or clerk of counsel was adequately serving this body. That's not within the purview of the Attorney General's office. And I think to send it to the Attorney General's office would be a disservice to this body because we should not make a presuppose that we are attorneys and that we are interpreting these emails to constitute an activity which should go to their office.
All
we
right.
should instead seek separate legal counsel on
okay.
that opinion.
Thank you, Ms. Wild. I need to hear from a couple other people then. They had their hand up before you.
That's actually what I was going to say. We needed to move into executive. However, I noticed that immediately after Mr. Danberg's comments, Mr. Papakai did rise, and obviously something in relation to that, so we probably should.
I didn't see him.
Yes, I just want to respond to Mr. Danberg, who you called out of order as well, because there were other council members that were going to speak, and Mr. Danberg was able to speak. I just wanted to respond directly.
You have the floor.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Just two basic things. The first thing I just want to clarify is that the executive branch received a separate FOIA request for the same information. So the executive branch obligation is different. So in addition to the FOIA request that was received by County Council, the executive branch received that same FOIA request. That's the first point I want to make. The second thing, I just want to say that I disagree with Mr. Danberg, because I think that you don't determine whether or not the emails are responsive unless you at least do a preliminary view of the emails. So you can't just say, I'm not going to respond without at least determining the content of the email, if that is the argument, that it doesn't deal with public business. And that argument in and of itself could still be up for debate one way or the other. But at a bare minimum, you have to at least determine whether or not the emails are responsive. But I want to reiterate that the executive branch received its own independent FOIA request. And the Office of Law did that search and forwarded it to council, because we do think council should respond, and that any response should come from council. I just want to make those two things.
We did our law department. Thank you. Mr. Street, and then three others who will call that.
You know, you got the legal opinion from council. Got a legal opinion from the county solicitor. Now you got a legal opinion from the county attorney. There was an occasion when the county attorney came in and said that he represented us and he was our lawyer. Quite frankly, I want an answer, and I don't think I'm going to get an unbiased answer unless you get it from an unbiased source. Now, from where I sit, and, you know, spent a little time in little school issues, and I can hear Judge Schwartz now saying to counsel, what does the law say? In the instant matter, the question before us is, what does the law say? I really don't care what he says. I really don't care what he says. I really don't care what she says. What I'm concerned about is, what's our legal obligation? They, by nature of how this controversy got started, they have differences of opinion. It's our responsibility to make some determination as to what the law says. We need to do that independently. Now, I purposely and intentionally deal in controversy. And on November, on Thanksgiving Day, I think it was 1978, there was a picture of Wendell Howell on the front page of the paper going to jail in handcuffs and shackles. Since I have been the primary spokesman on that same controversial issue, folks have been sitting awake nights using me for target practice, hoping that I have the same destiny. I am not going to get indicted over a dispute between the administration and our staff. Now, you know, if it was my email and I had Nisi writing grants for Hilltops back there in the office, the information would have been received and I'd have been knocking somewhere at the prison door. The FOIA would have been out. But what I need to know is what the law says, and I'm not going to sit here and let anybody accuse Jay Street of having information that now an officer of the court says may require ethical review, may require court review, may require criminal review, and me be accused, me get indicted, at everybody around this table, I'm probably the most controversial. I'll be the first one to go to jail for some kind of obstruction of justice. So I am not going that way. So whether this motion passes or fails, I am going to make a motion after his motion, and y'all vote up or down. If it fails for a second, I don't care. Okay, I'm going to make a motion that we send the information, all of it, to the Attorney General's office, and ask for the Attorney General, who is going to be the decider in this anyway, to give us what we should do. And second, Councilman Wine is absolutely correct. News Journal's sitting here. And the News Journal has already set the tone and tenor. And all the cases they've won with school boards and school officials, they've won them all. If they want the information, they've gotten it every time. You might as well not prolong the agony. But I'm worried about Councilman J. Street and Councilman J. Street not having to be disenfranchised or having to answer to anybody because I haven't been accountable. So I'm going to make a motion, whether this, y'all can vote however you want to. I'm going to support it. After that, I intend to make a motion to ask the Attorney General's office for an opinion and then do what we're told. But in the meantime, I started it in Finance Committee meeting. I still want to answer to the question, why did some of y'all and Paul fire Bob Hicks?
I have three council members.
If you make a distinction between the so-called reason or lack thereof that we fired Bob Hicks, and this is fundamentally wrong, unfair, and an extraordinary disservice to this government.
You done, Councilmember? Mr. Street?
Probably not, but I'll let it go.
We'll let others, when you catch your breath, Councilmember Smiley, Councilmember Kilpatrick, Councilmember Diller.
First in that order. I just want to address, your response to counsel was kind of off base because he never said what you said. What he said was that they did not, in their FOIA request, state the public business. Your point was you need to review the emails. If they and I would agree, if they stated what public business they wanted, then there may be an obligation to review the emails. But that wasn't done. On the other, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to support this one. Councilman, I'm not going to support yours. And I'm going to tell you what. Number one, Councilman Weiner, you say you have a higher obligation because of your position. I look at that as, basically, when you saw that email, you were aware that the law had been allegedly violated by accessing personal emails.
Are you talking about performance?
I'm not talking about job performance. I'm not going into that.
Okay.
You actually participated in that violation of law. Now, to get where we're at right now, big reason why I am where I am, I've been pulled into this in the press and verbalization over in that government center and everywhere else because I dared ask questions of this executive branch, and I'm going to continue to do it. And the allegations that have been made against me, there ain't a bit of damn truth to them, so ain't no reason I'm going to believe anything that they're putting out about anybody else. And I mean anybody else, unless they're talking about each other.
Councilmember Kilpatrick, Councilmember Diller.
Okay, first of all, I think we're talking about two different subjects. When we talk about sending all of the information over, what Mr. Danberg said was that our attorney has made a decision that the FOIA was not appropriate. But if she talked to the AG's office, if she talked to other attorneys, if she read the law, she made the decision that the FOIA was not appropriate. That was her decision. If there is a process within the law that says how that's handled, and that goes to the person mm-hmm. who requested the FOIA, then it's the responsibility of the person exactly. who did not get their FOIA to follow up. It's because our attorney made the decision that it was not appropriate. If the executive branch was also FOIA'd, why on earth then did they send it over to us after they had pulled everything and said in the email, you send it on to the person that made the FOIA request? So if they got a FOIA request and they want to respond to that FOIA request, then they are the ones that need to send it over in the belief that Andy Daly's request was valid. If we got the FOIA request and our attorney said it was not a valid request because it didn't hit the benchmarks that make it a valid FOIA request, then her opinion stands. And if anybody wants to say, I read them, I believe that there's something wrong, then it's your responsibility or the administration's responsibility if they believe that. And I told them this on Friday. My opinion on this is if you believe something is wrong, send it over to the AG. I wasn't FOIA'd, so I don't necessarily have the responsibility to take it over there if I had even read them and thought there was anything out of place. But those that read it, if you believe there was something wrong, that's where you go, is across the courtyard to the AG's office and let them make an opinion on it.
Now, Mr. Parsons, is your comment directed to her comment? Then we'll hear from Councilmember Diller, and then we're going to call for the vote.
That's all right. I'll get a chance to talk with the next motion.
Yeah, I also want to address your comment.
Okay, all right.
Mr. Parsons, Newcastle County Solicitor. First, I will respectfully disagree with Mr. Danberg on the idea of the scope of the FOIA request. If you adopt that position, then any improper, extracurricular, all types of activities which would be conducted on the Newcastle County email system would not be quote-unquote public business and outside the scope of FOIA. That cannot be the intent of FOIA. More importantly, Councilwoman, the reason it was done in this manner was because the Office of Law, the Information Systems is the custodian, the Office of Law has a relationship with this council that before we do certain things, we first notify you if we're going to go on the other side, the Office of Law, and then with this specific request, the reason it was sent over is there is an attorney general opinion from 2005 which talks about multiple custodians and essentially those with paramount interest. And the Office of Law, and I will probably take the point on determining who was the paramount interest, thought the paramount interest lied on the county council side. So before we had anybody read them and do our own cut of what is privileged and what is responsive, we send it over to the clerk and said, paramount interest, you guys can do this. If you do not, then there will be another meeting in the Office of Law about what our responsibilities are to Ms. Daly and to the News Journal, to the Attorney General's office, and to others. But that's why the documents have not been produced to anyone outside of counsel at this point in time. That's how we got here today.
Thank you, Mr. Parsons.
I'd like to respond to Ms. Kilpatrick.
Yes.
And also Mr. Smiley. The point was raised as to why I would not choose on my own to send this to the Attorney General's office. First of all, I'm acting as a political member of a political body, and as such, I'm concerned about we acting as a body and be protected as a body for collectively acting together. Secondly, it's not my job to play lawyer to interpret those emails as to whether or not there's any activity. I have no duty incumbent upon me. This body has a duty. Instead, I believe that all of us would be well served by getting a separate legal counsel to take a look at this, because the Attorney General, as I said before, is never going to take a look at the appropriateness of conduct of our counsel to counsel and our policy director, and our clerk of counsel, for whom I have the utmost respect. But in this instance, we have dueling legal opinions, and we need to understand as a body what we should do, because these emails will become public and the public will be asking, why did we not act if we choose not to? I hope that's not the case.
Councilmember Cotillo has been
called the question. Call the question.
That's a vote.
That is a vote.
You have to vote on call the question first.
Let's do it. Mm-hmm. Would you second it?
Second.
All right. We call now for the vote.
Aye.
You have to vote on the question for calling.
All in favor of calling on the vote.
Aye.
Any against?
Aye.
All right.
A poll vote, please.
We call a poll vote on this one. There's a motion on the floor. The motion is in writing. It's been written by Councilmember.
I might even go for his.
Weiner, second by Councilmember Street. Councilmember Bell is not here. Councilmember Cartier.
No.
Councilmember Dillon.
No.
Councilmember Hollins.
Yes.
Councilmember Kilpatrick.
No.
Councilmember Powers.
Yes.
Councilmember Retta.
No.
Councilmember Shelton.
No.
Councilmember Smiley.
I know what I want to do, but my butt don't fit no fence, so I'm going to vote no.
I'll find out what that means later.
That means I'd like to go on not voting.
A little levity.
Give me something to think about.
A little levity is in order here.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Mr. Street.
Yes.
Mr. Tackett.
Speaking for the court of public opinion, yes.
Mr. Weiner.
Yes.
And I vote yes as well. And the
six
count is
6-6.
6-6.
6-6.
6-6.
No majority.
6-6. Tie goes to the Smiley.
Okay.
I'll represent this motion when we have a 13 members of council.
Outstanding.
Thank you.
Thank you for the healthy debate. Oh, I see your hand, Mr. Street.
Yes, you do, sir.
Please proceed, sir.
I'm concerned, quite frankly.
Excuse me, this is on the other.
Yeah. I'm concerned that, quite frankly, in the situation with the auditor and the FOIA, that we got two different legal opinions. Quite frankly, counsel is busy protecting staff. I don't feel protected. I don't think this counsel's being protected. And I meant what I said. I am not going to get indicted for some obstruction of justice because there's a dispute between staff of the administration and council. So I would like an answer and I would like it expeditiously. Therefore, I make a motion that we send all the information related to the FOIA request from both Ms. Daly and the News Journal to the Attorney General's office for an Attorney General's opinion as to what we should do and what our legal obligation is.
Is there a second on the motion?
I'll second, yeah.
There's a question on the motion.
I have a question. So when you when you say send everything over, send all the emails over or send the opinions of the two attorneys, one as to why, so basically they're making the decision on whether the FOIA request was valid or not. That's what the AG's office is going to make the decision on.
Any and all information that is available to us for the Attorney General's office to consider.
But their charge would be, they have a FOIA person over there who makes decisions on FOIA.
Yeah.
So that person's charge would be to say whether it was a valid, within the scope of what you can ask of FOIA. If you send over all of the emails, then you are sending that over for a completely different reason. Yeah. So I think there's two questions here. One of them is the opinion of the attorneys, either one, correct on what they should have opined on whether the FOIA request was within the scope? The other one is that the information that was pulled, if anybody believes there's any infraction within those, does it become a legal matter? Two completely separate issues. I could support sending over, asking for the opinion on the scope of FOIA. I cannot support sending over something that was arbitrarily pulled out of our system for a reason that God knows why we're even there.
That question is directed to the
But the fact of the matter is, the information that you want to withhold was given to us as an attachment to the opinion as part and parcel for the reason of the opinion.
Not from our attorney. It was given to you by the administration for their reasoning in the scope. And the decision needs to be made whether Carroll's scope or their scope was correct.
I believe that I am correct. that in the legal opinion that was sent to us, attached to that from the county solicitor, attached to that opinion were the emails.
Yes, but then if
so I don't know how you asked the Attorney General to consider both sides without considering that which was attached.
It's the scope, not what's attached. Do they have the right to ask if they went into your emails and they said, If I say I want to FOIA all of Councilman Street's emails from the day he came onto council,
they'd have been out the door on TV and everywhere else. And
till
that's what's wrong here. If it was me, it would have been in the street.
Well, okay, let's say she asks to FOIA
mine. I'd be standing at Gander Hill like this. Oh no, like this.
All well, right. We'd come and visit you, but I think there's a difference.
I've had that.
But I think,
y'all wouldn't even send me cigarettes.
No, I wouldn't do that. No, we'll that wouldn't
do. We'll send you matches.
But I think we've got two issues here. And if the executive office thought that their scope, that their decision on the scope was valid, they should have sent them to Andy Daly, not sent them over to us to say, you send these to Andy Daly. We can't even send them over validating that they all were pulled or not tampered with because we didn't do it.
Yes.
Interesting. We have another question on the motion. Two more. Mr. Weiner
and they pulled them?
Mr. Hollins.
There you go.
I thank Councilwoman Kilpatrick for her thoughtful comments. I think they strongly support the motion that I previously made because it's unclear without a review of the information within the purview of each council member as to what our duty would be. The AG's office is not going to be telling us what our duty would be. A federal investigation may tell us what our duty should have been.
Well, let's do that.
I certainly would want us to do the right thing in advance rather than the court of public opinion or federal authorities coming later and saying, Council, you had knowledge of activities and you chose not to act. And just on the last point, I did hear an opinion from the county solicitor that there was a duty to advise us cross branches before release of emails that are in both of our respective possessions within the county government email system.
Councilmember Hollins and Cartier and Tackett in order, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yes. I feel that we've spent too much time on this issue between both branches of government. I think this is becoming too much of an issue that's taken up the time of the executive branch, the legislative branch, and it doesn't seem like it's going to end. If we can get an opinion from the AG's office, I'm supportive of that. If we get an opinion from an independent law school, I'm supportive of that. I just want to put this to rest. It's beginning to be too much. It's got legs of its own. I'm not supporting the law department or our counsel to counsel. I think, in my personal opinion, an unlegal opinion, there have been violations both ways. And the fact that, you know, law is here. They give their opinion. One of the things that the county solicitor says that, you know, they notify council when it's of interest or council's business, and I think they should, but at the same time, they don't always. I'm not really persuaded by that argument. I'm not persuaded about going to the length that we are in terms of not providing the information that's being asked for. What is the big deal with all of this? So if you go into the AG's office, I understand the point that Councilwoman Kilpatrick is making, but if we have this information, why don't we just get an answer on all of it? So what's the issue of going to the AG's office to say who's right or wrong in terms of the FOIA law? If there's other information contained in these emails that is going to be problematic, that is going to be public because the news journal is going to get these, then I agree with the Councilman Weiner. What is the big deal with that? If you're going to get this information and pass it on somewhere where there's going to be a decision made, and then we would act accordingly. But I think for the time being, it's taking up too much time with this government. If the public was aware of the amount of time we're spending on this as a government, I think they would all be very much displeased with what's happening in this government. So let's get it over with. If it means going to the AG's office, if it means going to whatever law school there is, let's just get it over with and move forward.
We do have a motion on the floor. I want to hear from Mr. Cartier, Mr. Tackett, and then we will move on the motion. Mr. Cartier.
I haven't read the emails in question because it's not clear to me that I have a right to read them. So who's going to tell me that? What attorney is going to advise me about the legality of that? So, I mean, this is going into, and I want to agree with, you know, the esteemed senior member of council. This has gone on a long time, and I'm kind of getting into a confused state right now, quite frankly. I'm for honest and transparent government, but now we've got competing legal opinions. I'm not going to read things that I don't think I have a right to read, just from my own personal ethical standpoint. And I will not read those emails, you know, because I personally don't think I have a right to read them. Okay, so with that being said, you know, maybe we do need to have the Attorney General, you know, give us some guidance.
Thank you, Mr. Cartier. Mr. Tech.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just real quick here. Since the day I arrived on this council, we prided ourselves on being open and accessible. I brought forward the legislation to put our recordings of our council meetings online for everybody to see. That was met with opposition, too, but we got it, and it's there, and it didn't happen the way a lot of people thought it was going to. I agree with Councilman Hollins wholeheartedly. The only reason I voted predominantly for Councilman Weiners is because I want a resolution to this. Right now, we're under the veil of we're withholding something from the public. That's not a good place for us to be. The pulse of some of the emails that I have seen lately between the our auditor and the administration have showed us that we are ready for a showdown here, and if we don't get an answer and get it now and get it soon, the amount of money and the amount of time that we're going to spend on this in the future is going to be astronomical. So we need to do something and do it now.
Thank you, Mr. Tackett. Mr. Street, would you please restate your motion? If you can remember.
Can the clerk read that back? Can the clerk read that? Oh,
you were. Right. I think it was to send to the AG.
This is the administration's motion.
Yes, right. That's exactly.
Point of order, please.
To send any and all information related to the FOIA request. Including the opinion from the county solicitor, including the opinion from counsel to counsel to the Attorney General's office, asking for his opinion as to what our responsibility and obligations.
Is there a second?
Second.
Point of information. You're going to ask the same question.
So we're talking about scope.
Just scope.
Scope. Because I'll vote for it for scope.
Right.
I won't vote for it for all the extra fringe stuff.
Clarification, too. Are you talking about the contents of the emails? That's the other side of the coin. Do you want those emails that we've been presented to be reviewed by the AG's office?
I believe that the opinion that came from the county solicitor and its attached email were sent to us for our consideration and should be included in what we asked the Attorney General to consider.
It's two different things.
You can't do that.
Two different things.
All right. What I'm going to do, we're going to vote on this motion. And we vote it up or down. Is there a second on that motion?
Need somebody to do that.
Second.
Power second.
We have a poll vote on this as well.
Sure, why not?
Can we restate the motion for the record, please?
For the third time?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Keep it on record because you're going to be doing it for each other before the end of this term.
Mr. Street, could you oblige us, please, per the request of the chair?
Make a motion that regarding the Freedom of Information request from Ms. Daly and the News Journal that we send to the Attorney General all the information that we have received, both from Council to Council and the County Solicitor, including the attachments, and ask for an Attorney General's opinion on what our responsibility and our obligation is.
They don't give advisory opinions.
Is there?
Right.
It's been moved by Councilmember Street. Is there a second on the motion?
Second.
Councilmember Powers. Poll vote. Mr. Bell, absent. Mr. Cartier,
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
No.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
No.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Shelby?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
No.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
No. It won't answer the questions.
And Mr. Bullock?
Yes.
And the count is?
One too fast.
One too fast.
8-4.
Seven yes and?
Three not.
I mean, no.
Twelve here.
Seven yes and four no. The motion is passed.
That's not enough people.
Eight yes.
It's got to be eight.
What's the rule? Do we need, is seven enough?
Let's vote to accept the vote.
Seven is enough.
Seven's enough.
According to the clerk, the seven is enough. All right, anything else on the, Mr. Street?
Yes, Mr. President. I would respectfully request you as president gather that information and send it under letter from you, and that you not involve council or anybody else, but it come directly from you, and just state what was set forth in the motion and answer that opinion. I would like for it not to be tainted with opinions that we're already aware of.
Is council all right with that? That's good. No problem. Anything else on the other?
Does that mean you're going to do that, sir?
I will.
For the record, I'm just,
yes, sir.
I want the record to be clear.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You so much.
Thank you, Mr. Street.
Yes.
Yes.
Under other, respectfully, I'll bring this motion up again earliest possible opportunity when we have all 13 members of council here. Because as I stated, the Attorney General is not going to give an advisory opinion, and they're not going to answer the questions enumerated in this motion, which we as a body need to know to be protected going forward.
So I asked somebody to investigate him.
I have one. I see the General Manager here from HR. Good afternoon. Yesterday we heard a report from the General Manager of Special Services, and he said that he's having problems getting people hired because of an 8-step process, and that was a concern from council.
2 steps were added.
On why it's taken, for some departments, their people are hired quicker than others. It came up yesterday and it came up again today. And for the purposes of this council, could you shed some light on that, please?
What the general manager is referring to is the requisition process. There's eight, actually there's a little bit more involved in eight steps. The first one, the general manager posts, if they would like to get a vacancy filled, then it goes to finance, and then it goes to the chief administrator office, and then once we get an approval, it goes for posting, and HR will develop a recruitment plan and start the hiring process. Then there's more, initially more steps too that are involved. It goes back to finance, and then it comes back to HR again, and the chief administrator office, and then you go to step 8 and hiring process, and then you also have to go through physicals, drug screens. In some jobs like public safety, you have psychological exams. So some jobs can go very quickly within 3 months. Some of them are a little bit longer. And the ones that we have trouble now getting hiring, this is the ones that we're considering for the continuing posting. I was looking for Councilman Bell today. I know he's absent because I wanted to discuss some things with the radio communications room, some ideas that we can pursue to try to quicken that process.
Councilmember Retta, Smiley, Kilpatrick, and Tackett, in that order, please.
Thank you. I asked yesterday, Dwayne, and a couple other council people did too. There's positions that are being paid for. The money's there in his department. Why, when he requests people, does it have to go to the law or to the finance? The finance says, yeah, the money's there. Then it comes back to you, and then they have to post it. It's already posted. There's monies there. Why do we have to have all these steps?
This is these steps in our PeopleSoft system and our requisition process. I mean, it tracks everything for purposes, like if someone were to get a hold of me and say, if we get like a FOIA request or say a law department, we know like where maybe a person stopped in the process.
We're talking about hiring people. We're not talking about FOIA. We're talking about hiring people that we need, that need to do the work, because we're spending money on overtime. There's people that, there's places out there, especially the streams in a lot of areas that have to be taken care of. They don't get taken care of till probably September, August, September, October, somewhere in that area. And they're going around to all the streams. So these certain guys that are doing that all the time, that's just one process. Then you got other people that can be hired. We had one in there yesterday. It was an electrician apprentice in 2011. Councilman Sheldon brought it up. Today, that person would be a mechanic because it's 2015. They're looking for a mechanic now. But we still don't have the apprentice. We still don't have the mechanic. I mean, these are things that, that could be done. We have an apprentice program. You're not even using it.
Councilmember Smiley.
Mr. President, I think if we're not over the line, we're walking the line. This issue is not on the agenda, hasn't been properly posted. I would respectfully ask that council members be sent the hiring processes, whichever there are, in ample time for us to be able to review them. This be placed on a proper agenda and advertised so that those people in New Castle County or outside that are interested in getting jobs, if they so choose, can come attend that meeting and hear the discussion. And maybe we can find a way to do some streamlining. But I think that's a problem. I think we need to put it on an agenda. We need to advertise it. We need to give the public. Maybe we'll hear from some of those people that have come in that have been tied into that process, have walked away from a job to take one elsewhere for certain reasons. I don't know. But I think that would be hopefully a more informative and beneficial countywide process for us to go through. I leave it at that.
Point well taken. Who else at hand? I think Mr.
Tackett,
yes.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yeah, just quickly, the acting GM, you know, made some very disturbing statements. He has positions in there that are funded every year that he claims cannot get filled because of the HR process, and he even made the statement that unless you're public safety, you can't get through the system. That's got to get changed.
Good talk.
Yeah.
All right.
I do know that some of these positions take a while. We have gotten outside ones. We have tested over 200 people, and we have gone to performance testing in some different of his positions in his department, because when we spoke to him and other supervisors, when someone's working on sewer lines or operating a truck, I think they're performing, and the painters, the how they perform the job is sometimes a lot better, you know, and their skills and their safety things are more important to be observed and by outsiders and a board. But there are, I mean, lists are there for a year. And believe me, we like to, HR goes through a lot when we go through the hiring process. I mean, one position, we screened over 500 people for a secretary's position. So we know that there's a definite need out there for people wanting a job.
And I'll wrap it up and I'll say, because we need to get going. But maybe the bar is a little too high. I don't know. And again, I'm not sure we need to be going out. We have senior managers sitting in these departments. They've been there for years. They ought to be more than adequately qualified to interview these applicants, decide what the qualifications are, and be selecting them.
We do have also, most of the time when we do interview panels, we will select some of those senior managers. Also, at times, too, we will sometimes bring an outside person from outside the county for evaluation.
And again, as Mr. President said,
yes,
we're not arguing the process here. It's like even Councilwoman Kopechter said, if it's taking years to film, do we even need them? And then they're arguing that it's the HR process. So
we're inching up to a line we don't want to go over. I want to move this discussion.
If we can take 8 steps and make them shorter, I would be for it.
Excuse me. we're going to ask the Personnel Committee to put this on the agenda at the appropriate time, and we can have a robust discussion on it. Councilmember, Kilpatrick, you...
No, I'm good.
All right. Councilmember Powers?
Just going back, Councilwoman Kilpatrick brought it up. I mean, there were some 02, 06. I would think in any process, you should have somebody hired by now. I mean, look, and really, senior managers working, which you've probably, I think you better bring in some of the people that are working there too, because some of the managers, and I don't know who they are, but you've worked with them, I'm looking at John. They may not know what's really going on in the field anyway. Partly even at Chrysler, they started employing when we were doing, bringing people in to make sure they can do the job.
Well, we can talk about that in personnel.
Maybe that's why you're stuck with nobody even working there. I've been here going on 9 years in the same position, been there the whole time. You know, I watched it where we got a supervisor for a bricklayer, but we needed bricklayers. How many chiefs do we need?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Powers. There's nothing else under other in the public comment today?
Motion adjourned.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Ayes have it. Thank you.